A sheet of rusting, corrugated iron was flapping back and forth, torn loose from a row of jagged nails around what had once been the side entrance to the church. Ryan drew the Sig Sauer. The ingrained habit had kept him alive so far.
Man who walks in a strange building without a cocked blaster in his fist will likely come out on his back.
Trader always said things like that. Ryan paused in the doorway, allowing his eye to adjust to the semi-darkness. The hairs at his nape began to prickle with that certainty that someone was hiding in the shadows. Moving very carefully, Ryan backed out of the church, looking around for JB. Ryan waved a hand to JB, using the old signal that meant danger. The armorer immediately readied his Uzi and walked quickly and silently across the old main street, dodging a rolling ball of tumbleweed to join Ryan.
Someone in there?
Can't see anyone, but you can feel it.
There was no need for either man to question or doubt the instincts of the other. They'd both been around far too long for that.
How do you want to tackle it, Ryan?
Both go in. Me left, you right. Flat against the wall. Play it as it lays.
Not likely to be the general's men. More likely Navajo. Wounded men.
They paused a moment outside the ruined church. Ryan nodded, and a heartbeat later they were both inside, eyes straining to penetrate the gloom. The interior was stripped, with a few broken benches piled in one corner, and the general air of destruction that typified abandoned buildings throughout Deathlands. There were rusting cans and plastic rubbish. A brown rat, skin dappled with a cancerous growth, moved in front of them, left to right, unhurried and unafraid. There was a ramshackle staircase hanging from one wall that probably once led up to the vanished bell tower. Lances of gray light probed through the corners of the broken and boarded windows. JB pointed with the snub nozzle of the Uzi toward the heaped pews in the corner. Unless there was someone lurking in the blackness of the ravaged second story, it was the only possible place for anyone to be hiding. Ryan nodded and leveled the Sig Sauer. The bullet tore through the wall a couple of feet above the benches, leaving a splintered hole through which a rod of watery light came peeking.
Come out or get dead!
For a few tense moments, there was no reaction to the 9mm bullet. Ryan leveled his blaster again, this time aiming into the center of the broken furniture.
Last chance!
What?
Ryan glanced sideways at JB, both men ready to open fire at the first sign of a threat. Behind them, Ryan was aware that the rest of the friends were waiting just outside, drawn by the gunfire. Nobody moved.
Don't shoot us, mister! We're fucking nearly dead anyway from no food!
Come out, slow and easy, and keep your hands where we can see them. One wrong move and we take you out.
Ryan's finger had already taken up first pressure on the trigger of the Sig Sauer. The discarded pews moved.
Shit!
Ryan and JB dropped into a crouch.
Coming out, mister! Don't shoot, please!
The figure in the gloom was tall and skinny, his hands held high, followed by a second person.
Stand still! They're just the two of you? Nobody else?
I'm Jerry Park from West Texas. This is my woman, Gemma. Should we come closer?
Sure, but keep those hands up.
JB, check out there's just the two of them. I'll cover you.
Sure.
The young man called Jerry had been telling the truth. The companions had very little spare food, banking on some successful hunting the following day. But they shared what they had with the young couple, all of them huddled together in a protected corner of the old church. The horses were hobbled in the far corner of the stuccoed building, beneath a faded fresco of the Blessed Saint Buebo among the lepers. The threatened storm had arrived even more quickly than they'd expected, bringing endless peals of thunder and sheets of vivid chem lightning that turned the dusk to brilliant day. Rain pounded on the remnants of the roof, dripping ceaselessly from broken iron guttering. They'd scavenged enough wood to keep a bright fire going, providing a cheerful center as the storm raged violently all around them. Jerry Park had a hooked nose that had once been badly broken and never properly set. His eyes were brown, so dark they seemed almost black. He was around 20 and close to 6 feet tall, but so emaciated that Ryan doubted that he would have tipped the scales much beyond 80 pounds. There was an empty holster at his hip, and an ancient sheath knife with a broken blade stuck in his frayed belt. Gemma was also painfully thin. She wore torn cotton pants and a hand-dyed woolen shirt. Her bleached blonde hair was tied back in a raggedy ponytail. Both were barefoot. Nobody questioned the couple until they demolished most of the remaining stock of jerky and swilled down a bellyful of good water. Then, predictably, it was Dean who began.
Where are you going?
I've got a cousin with a spread this side of the Grandy. A place called Agua Verde. You heard of it? Well, me and Gimma come from West Texas. I told you that, didn't I? Littleville. Three houses and a privy, my old man used to say. Called Eagle's Fork. Damn sure you won't have heard of it. Nothing to do there. Dirt farmers. Me and Gimma decided to head out and find my cousin Paulie.
You know where this Agua Verde place is?
Thought we did. Jerry's pa gave us a sort of a map. Done good for the first few days. Like familiar places y'all know. Then it kind of went shitty on us. Showed a river that wasn't there. Couple roads that, like, vanished.
Gemma constantly watched Jerry as though she were scared about saying the wrong thing.
Worst was the wells and water places. Say, you wouldn't have any more of that jerky, would you folks?
No, sorry. But we figure on hunting tomorrow. You'd be welcome to come that far with us. Ride bareback on the pack animals.
Yeah. We can make some good kills, and you're welcome to some meat. Stock up on water in the foothills, and that'll set you on your way again.
Thanks, mister. The noise you keep hearing is my belly rubbing on my backbone. Can't remember the last time we ate proper.
You see anyone passing by?
Dean glanced at his father to make sure he wasn't putting his foot in it.
Yeah, we did. Must have been about noon. Wouldn't you say, honey?
Yeah.
We hid, like when you all come in.
Sure did. There was some noise earlier on. A couple wags. Maybe three or four. Couldn't be sure. Never seen them. Just heard the engines. Going south.
So, who were the people came by in the middle of the day?
Injuns. Lots on horses. They stopped around a quarter hour.
Near a half hour. Ate some food. Smelled like cornbread fritters. I near died smelling it. And some refried beans.
They pissed in here. I heard it.
Smelled it too, honey.
Didn't hear what was said? Where they was going? Nothing like that?
The couple swiveled and stared at Jack.
You hear them talk?
Sure. They spoke their language. Couldn't make a word of it.
Jerry continued to stare at Jack.
You mind if I ask you something, kid?
Don't call me kid.
I could have told him that.
Sure thing, buddy. Just that I figure you gotta be some kind of mutie. Is that right?
No.
That white hair, and you got triple-eyed eyes. Red, ain't they?
Red with the blood of enemies I chilled. Bit out their throats and sucked all their blood.
Holy Jesus in the desert! That surely ain't true, is it?
Ryan looked past the couple, out through the dark, empty doorway.
Storm might be passing away. Be worth us trying to get some sleep, good and early. Get moving then, before first light.
So the party of nine wrapped themselves in blankets and settled down by the smoldering embers of the fire. Well before dawn, two of them would be dead.
Goddamned son of a bitch. I'll kill you twice.
The man called Traitor stirred, trapped deep in midnight sleep. It had been a long time before the warm darkness had finally spun its web over his brain. Every week that crept past, it seemed that his sleep pattern was more and more disturbed. He was either sitting up at 3 a.m, locked into the dark night of his soul, staring into the smoldering embers of their fire, or he was crashing out, with the evening sun hardly dipped over to the west, beyond the Pacific. Even while his eyes were closed, the battle was nowhere near finished for him. The traitor had always prided himself on being a man who never dreamed, or never had any dream that caused him a moment's concern.
Dreams are weakness.
He used to say that when he ran the two large war wags into every corner of Deathlands, when even the most powerful baron would hesitate to alienate the traitor. Everyone knew that if you crossed any of Traitor's men or women, then you were crossing the grizzled leader as well. And he'd come looking for you, with his famous battered Armalite in his arms, like the avenging angel of death incarnate. He used to boast that he had no enemies. At least, he had no enemies still living. At his side, deeply asleep, Abe twitched and rolled onto his back, his hands cupped protectively around his groin. Traitor was sliding helplessly into the same dream that had been plaguing him for several weeks now. more or less since his ex-gunner had tracked him down in the far northwest, bringing back memories of One-Eyed Carter and the pale and laconic J.B. Dix, memories that he'd really believed were buried forever. The memories had formed the backdrop for the repetitive dream that was now composing itself from the broken shards of the tranquil mirror of sleep, a primitive landscape, barren and wild. Volcanic rocks had been twisted and sheared into myriad bizarre, glass-edged shapes. Walking was extremely difficult. Driving was impossible. The two wags had been left behind. Trader couldn't quite recall where they were. In the darkness of their campsite, Trader's lips moved, the words hardly disturbing the night air.
Deathlands is my land.
He was wearing steel-toed combat boots, but the razored rocks had cut them apart. His feet were hot, sore, blistered. The sky was a dome of beaten copper, with the sun like molten gold hanging at its center. Trader knew that Ryan and JB were with him, following close behind, letting him break the trail for them. They rode on his back, sucking at his power, trying to drain him of his life force so that they could usurp his authority and leave him to die in the shimmering oven. There was a glistening expanse of cracked salt flats a quarter mile ahead of him. The heat distorted everything, but Trader thought that he could make out some mountains, their jagged peaks tipped with snow. How far away? 10 miles? 100 miles? Ryan and JB were behind him. Trader turned. Salt flats and snow-topped mountains, an eternity away from him. No sign of Ryan and JB. Trader completed the circle. It was the same every which way he looked.
Why don't you boys come alongside?
His throat was dry, his blackened tongue swollen like an old piece of sun-baked harness. He tried to swallow, but his spittle had become fine red dust. Trader reached a hesitant hand toward his face, feeling the tug of the armalite strung over his shoulder. There was stubble across his chin and the puckered heads of old blisters. The corners of his mouth were cracked and so tender that he jumped in his sleep and nearly awoke at the fiery agony. There was a temptation to lie down and rest, but the honed boulders would have slashed his desiccated flesh back to the bare bones. At his feet was a small pool of cloudy water, less than a yard across. In its shallows, there were shadowy fish moving, tails waving sluggishly. Trader knelt and dipped a hand into the warm liquid, brought his fingers to his mouth and licked them. His mouth puckered at the dreadful alkaline bitterness. It was utterly undrinkable. But the thirst was overpowering. Trader would have done anything for a mouthful of crystal water. If it had meant pressing his mother's face down into white-hot charcoal, then he'd have done it without a moment's hesitation, without a pang of conscience. That was one of the great hidden truths about the mysterious and solitary man called the Trader. He didn't have anything approaching a normal conscience. Guilt never plagued him. If he had to do something, he did it. Slit a baby's throat, gun down a helpless old man, burn a vill to ashes. Anything. Betray a friend?
No.
Chill a friend?
Yeah.
A friend betrayed was a permanent threat. One day, in some frontier pest hole, there'd be a voice out of the shadows telling you not to turn around. And there'd be the blazing pain of a full metal jacket bursting your heart and lungs. A dead friend was no threat to anyone. While he'd been thinking about that, the landscape had changed around Trader. Changed from the salt flats. Now Trader was among the distant peaks. There was no sensation of time or distance passing, but now he could look back and see Ryan and JB and...
No.
The desert was far below and far, far behind. Right at the farthest edge of seeing, Trader thought he saw something moving fast across the cracked white surface, a tiny body and immensely long legs, scuttling with gigantic steps. But he blinked, and when he'd rubbed his eyes, the thing had disappeared from sight. If it had ever been there. Now the repeated dream was starting to gather its familiar momentum. Trader had started to perspire, and his eyes, beneath the closed lids, were flickering from side to side in jerky, involuntary movements. He was alone, betrayed and abandoned by all of his friends. Friends. Men and women who worked for him, rode with him, chilled for him. The air was a little cooler up in the mountains, away from the baking heat of the lifeless desert. A light breeze was coming from the north, rustling the long meadow grass. Trader felt younger, freer. Despite the pleasant surroundings, the trader was conscious of an uneasy feeling of apprehension. Somehow, it seemed like he'd been there before, almost knew what was going to happen, and knew it wasn't good. The path was winding downhill into a steep-sided valley, cool among graceful pines. Now the trail went up a steady incline among purple rolling hills.
Ryan, you here? I can hear you, JB, close by me. Come out where I can see you, friends.
Under his blanket, Trader clenched both fists, his thumbs tucked into his palms, a classic signal of uncertainty and a seeking for security. In the landscape of his dream, the ridge of granite was dappled with streaks of silver quartz, the colors dulled by the leaden sky. The gorge dropped away in front of Trader, less than a quarter mile off, the rainbow mist from its colossal fall already visible. The Indian was sitting on a large boulder to the right of the trail, holding up a hand in greeting to Trader, and to Ryan and to JB, who were walking with him.
It is a good day, brothers.
A good day.
The walking woman has not passed this way. Have you seen her on your travels?
Trader looked to see if either of his two oldest companions knew what was being said, but they were both staring toward the invisible waterfall.
We have seen no man and no woman walking this way. No animal and no fish and no bird and no creeping snake.
I am walks without fire, and you are man with fire in belly. You are dead.
No, I'm not.
It is true. You have had much suffering and lonely pain, and that will soon end.
Am I dying, Ryan? John Dix? Come on, guys, you can tell me. I'm the traitor. You know me.
But the two men were no longer standing with Trader. He had a vague memory of Ryan saying he had to go to do something up in old Seattle, and the skinny Navajo had vanished. The scenery had changed once more, bringing Trader closer to the brink of the drop into the boiling cauldron at the base of the falls. The path had become agonizingly narrow, with a sheer drop to Dragon's Teeth Rocks, thousands of feet below him. Only forward, onward and up. A tattered well of ice-cold mist draped around Trader's head and shoulders.
Stay fucking dead.
They were pushing him onward, fingers that feathered at his spine, edging him higher and closer to the slick rocks at the top of the falls. Now his feet trembled, hanging into the singing space. He glanced reluctantly into the mighty chasm and the toppling torrent of diamond water.
Please.
This was not a word that came easily to the trader. Not a word he'd used all that often in his life. Certainly not for the past 20 years or more. And it was just like all the other times. No moment of transition. No actual act of tripping or stumbling or being propelled outward. Just the falling. He knew that this was just a dream. A scary kind of dream, like lots of ordinary people had. Maybe they had them every night, but Trader didn't. So there was no need to scream. Not in a dream. A dream where glistening slabs of rock moved past with a surreal slowness. Where water, cold as eternal death, soaked through your clothes and ran into your eyes and nose and mouth, making it hard to scream. Trader couldn't squint through the cascade and see what awaited him at the bottom. The circling maelstrom of grinning green foam, lips parted, ready to suck him inside its maw. He fell into its heart at what felt like 100th real speed, and sank, his lungs bursting. He fell and began to rise again. A tiny, flickering green sun far above him drew him out into light and safety. In Trader's mind, the dream had always ended in a bowel-churning terror, not in this quiet ascending toward life. But something was going to go wrong. He was near the surface, with a cupful of air remaining in his chest.
A living man.
Something from the darkness gripped him tightly. Abe jerked awake, certain that a gang of stickies had come on them in the night, and he was now going to die a hideous death. Then, sense and awareness eased itself back, and he won control over himself, kicking out of his blanket and crawling cautiously across toward Trader. Cautiously, because this nocturnal horror had struck at Trader for 5 out of the past 6 nights. Each time, Abe had shaken him awake. On the previous night, the older man had gripped him by the neck and tried to strangle Abe. The Trader had become tangled in his own blankets, and Abe had been able to break free. A part of Abe worried that the screams might have attracted night prowlers.
Wake up, Trader.
I'm awake. What the fuck do you want, Abe?
Nothing, Trader. I just thought you might be having a bad dream or something.
Me? A dream, Abe? Come on, man. What the fuck are you saying? Trader doesn't dream.
Sure. Sorry. Yeah, of course. I'm sorry.
Trader was already asleep again.